computer. Okay. So I think the first and foremost and probably most important thing for us to think about is there was a San Jose Developers Forum conference last week, and there Catherine Lefebvre presented about this this rather cryptic EUAG meeting, which R5 El Alto, it's called a cadence proposal. And I don't know why it has such a strange title, but EUA, I don't even know what that stands for. But but basically the idea is that they're looking to possibly have El Alto be a technical focused on just technical debt and defect backlogs. So we're starting to pile up now by release 5 a whole bunch of Jira tickets and just a lot of stuff is piling up. And I should put this over here. And I think the proposal is maybe to stop some of the new work and focus on just getting ONAP in better shape. And I think that's a pretty good idea. At least I feel it's a pretty good idea. So this is the presentation. You can download. The link is in the wiki for this week's meeting, and you can also access it in the notes that I send out with this week's meeting. So this is the traditional ONAP timeline from R1 to R4. it's about 28 weeks between M0 to sign off and release. So let's see, 19, 23.5, 24, 27. Yeah, so I see about 27 and a half weeks here between scope and definition and design up to M3. Where there's development starts, we start planning the development and out to M4 with code freezing and then testing, integration, bug fixing. So the use cases are proposed here. Now you see in El Alto, we're kind of in the early planning stages where people are starting to talk about new use cases and new functions. And I think there was some proposal here in El Alto to take a look at limiting the code changes and maybe having a shortened release. So El Alto release candidate 1.2.3, a shortened instead of a 27 and a half week cycle, we have a shorter cycle because there's less, excuse me, I'm recovering from a cold, so my voice might sound a little strange at times. So here I think the idea is to have a slightly shortened release, focused a lot on on tickets and technical debt and trying to shore up things. So there's no limited or no cross application dependency, non-functional requirements, and a few platform enhancements and documentation enhancements. And then in Frankfurt, R6, I guess I would expect them to kind of go back to kind of a more normal cycle, I believe. I'm not entirely sure I understand this diagram now, but I believe the idea was to have El Alto be this sort of shortened release, not a full 27 and a half week or 28 week cycle, but a shorter cycle. So the ONAP timeline evolution prerequisite and risks, so identify smaller content, having 3 development testing environments, review a tag strategy, increase container storage, and that's the basic idea. Okay, so this is her presentation. I'm not sure I can answer a whole lot of questions about it, but you can contact Catherine Lefebvre if you have questions. But I think it's very interesting, and of course, anybody involved or interested in developing for El Alto will be affected. Okay. In the meantime, I see a couple other people joined.
Hey, Ben, this is Shocker. I just joined.
Oh, hey, Shocker. Hey, thanks for joining.
All right, no problem.
I think Steve doesn't have a Linux Foundation account either, maybe. Or I can't find him anyway. Okay, Shocker. And I see Chris joined.
Hi, Ben.
Hi. Hi, thanks for joining. Okay. All right, so that's that. And I think it's good to look over these slides, and if you have questions, you can contact Catherine. All right, so again, we have a whole lot of topics to cover. We haven't met in a couple weeks. So let me see if we can kind of prioritize or what's kind of a short thing to talk about here. So I presented the use cases, the 5G use cases coming in El Alto at the conference. And I won't go over all of the slides. I don't think we have time to do that, but I'll try to give you kind of a quick view of them. So I presented
I joined like 5 minutes late.
Okay, sorry. So the first thing we discussed was El Alto. So we discussed that El Alto are the next release maybe instead of a normal 28-week cycle, it might be a shorter, like 20-week cycle, and focus just on technical debt instead of new development.
Right.
So that's going to be pretty big. if that's the case, and I think the decision for that or more of that is finalizing tomorrow at the TC call on Thursday.
That's right.
So if that happens, then of course a lot of this stuff will be pushed to Frankfurt that we're talking about here, and that's fine. That's still stuff we need to talk about. But that's kind of what I said in the first few minutes of the call.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
thanks
sure. A lot. Sure. You're welcome. Okay, so again, this is what maybe I'm jumping ahead a little. Let me give you a little slightly bigger picture here. Let me see if I can find. So in El Alto, these are all of the El Alto proposed use cases. I'm, of course, very interested in the 5G use cases, so I kind of jumped to that, but let me put in the chat here for R5 El Alto use cases wiki page here.
Atul here from Vodafone. I think that there was one which I proposed and presented last week. It's not there on this wiki.
Oh, okay.
I think I may not have even created a placeholder. I did present there, spoke to Ella, and she said, come and present.
Yeah, sure. So what was the use case?
It was basically an end-to-end service creation, but it was kind of an IoT type service using 5G as a test bed, but then in essence using ONAP for facilitation of the automation of 5G. So I'll send you the proposal just now.
Oh, is it focused on 5G then? Is that true?
It is a 5G use case. It's just that the service type was an IoT type service type, but essentially it is a 5G use case.
Okay. So in that case, I get involved a lot in the 5G stuff. So let me add it here.
I'll send it to you or?
Yeah, definitely. I'll send it to me. I'll create a page for you and stuff. So
okay.
Let me see. Do you have what the title is called, end-to-end service creation or?
Hang on, let me just open my email and tell you. It just says creation of 5G based services, actually. So it doesn't have any fancy name, I think.
Because I've already created a page for something like that. I already proposed sort of a use case for that. Let me see. So basically, I called it 5G service modeling, where basically we need to create a 5G service, right? So I took a couple of my slides from a presentation I gave to the Linux Foundation Academic Summit that I presented last year. I only just started this page, but I think one of the big things we need to do is to introduce, you know, better modeling and a definition around what is a 5G service and defining, you know, all the associated modeling stuff so that we can model and create a 5G service proper. Is that kind of what you were also?
At a high level, yes. But if you refresh your mail, and you could potentially see.
Okay.
The email from me. So if not now, maybe offline. But if you
Absolutely. Yeah.
If it's it's under one of the other scenarios, by all means, attach it to that box.
But sounds good. Yeah. Definitely. There, yeah. Okay. Great. Okay. Thanks. We'll be in touch. Definitely. Okay. All right. So I was talking about all of the 5G use cases. This is the page here with all of the 5G use cases. you'll recognize, or hopefully you recognize, scaling, BBS, control loop, the 5G use cases, optical service orchestration, CCVPN, HPA, runtime security is a proof of concept, continuation of cloud-based cloud region support, DAS, third-party operational domain manager. so the new ones, I think, are, I don't remember seeing this optical service orchestration before, this runtime security, I don't remember seeing this third-party operational domain manager, I think is new. maybe I'll hunt down some of these people and they can give us some presentation in future meetings. So this meeting again is focused a lot on platform evolution and use case development, hence the use case realization part of the title of the call. But you know, in order to do that, it helps if everybody kind of knows what these use cases are about, right? So sometimes I also ask people who are leading some of these use cases to present to the group what these use cases are. Sometimes they're also presented at Alice call as well, so we don't need to do that here. But you know, it just gives us, you know, there's only so much time in the week, so it helps to have sometimes another call to be able to do that. I also want to talk about the 5G use cases in either El Alto or now possibly Frankfurt. As I said in the early part of the meeting, El Alto might be only technical debt and JIRA ticket fixing. And if that's the case, of course, this will become Frankfurt. But of course, you know, the stuff eventually needs to be done anyway, so the content is still valid, right? So continuation of pre-onboarding and onboarding. So Zhu and Mikkel and myself have been working a lot on this this use case along with the development teams create the and onboard and do pre-onboarding activities to support a package. What I was actually about to do is present these slides here. So I don't have time to go over all these slides, but I'll upload them to this page here. You can download them and look at them offline. So what we did was this is the slides that I presented at the conference last week. I have a page describing the use case and then stuff that we're doing, the stuff that we intend to be doing, proposed possible candidate enhancements or work in El Alto. Now, what I did was I created a page for every one of these things. And what I did was I took this table that you see in the slides and I just cut and pasted into the start of a wiki page. And then I made a title for every one of these rows and things. So so if you are involved in the use case, you can go in and of course feel free to edit the wiki. And I have kind of a start for you. Okay. So 5G service and creation modeling we just talked about. Basically we need to get our hands around and our minds around creating a 5G service. Oscar has been leading the NetConf work, so there's further enhancements being worked there. Marge, who's on the call, has been from Nokia, has been working with Ericsson on the bulk PM with Mark Scott from Ericsson. There's further enhancements being considered there. Plug and play is largely solid, I feel, but we of course need to actually integrate with a real DU and continue to refine the plug and play. In R4, there was a lot of work done with the re-registration update, which was new, working with the BBS team. We're trying to get the PNFID to PNF name schema change, which impacts a number of things, some security enhancements, and the controller.nf type association, which I've been trying to work for two releases. PNF software upgrade, Oscar and others in ULAS have been, and myself have been working on this PNF software upgrade to try to define what to do there. And there's some enhancements, notably the biggest thing I think is probably the support of NetConf. Marge has been working on the FM metadata. So the GUI enhancements there, some early introduction of the GUI was done there, and there might be some alignment with 3GPP standards. Enhancements to the GUI, kind of the same with PM Dictionary. OFMPC, I think Swami's on the call, yeah. I got this from Shankar. I think OF, one of the things I think, PCI is just one small piece of SAN. So probably there'll be either extensions to this use case or new SAN things to consider. So there's a lot. SAN is three things, right? Self-optimization, self-configuration, and self-healing. And PCI is one of those self-configuration legs of SAN where you're trying to automatically set physical cell identifiers. I don't know if there are other new kind of use cases being considered, Swami, for SAN, or if it's mostly just focused on improving the PCI function.
Ben, there are a couple of things I would like to add. One is for Dublin itself, we are also adding some part of the centralized portion of the neighbor relation, right? So blacklisting a neighbor, for example, based on the, let's say, the handover metrics. So this part of the functionality is implemented as part of the Dublin release. So you are perfectly right in the sense that it's no longer PCI alone. So for Dublin itself, it becomes PCI plus some portions of AMR. So coming to El Alto, we are focusing on one aspect, which is trying to complete the loop in the sense that when a new cell is added, right? So if the ANAI gets updated and then there is a workflow triggered via SO to assign a PCI for this new cell. So this part of the flow we did not consider. Our use case started with the premise that a RAN network, a RAN is already existing. And when a neighbor list gets updated, a collision or confusion happens, which then triggers the PCI optimization action, which is pretty much the use case. So, but now we are also looking at new cell addition also as a kind of to complete it, like kind of to go through the entire life cycle, right? Of the cell addition and then neighbor list changes and so on. So that is one thing that we are looking at. And another thing is, okay, there were some initial discussions about additional SAN use cases, but we never really got into the details then. Maybe in the coming week, we might look at something to be added in terms of a new functionality.
Mm. Okay.
Then the other part was to be, the third dimension was to look outwards from the SDNR. So in terms of integration with possibly a real DU, in terms of evolving the models to be aligned, maybe 3GPP or ORAN as the case may be. So that is the third dimension we are looking at.
Mm. Okay, great.
Um,
Whoa. Okay.
So one question, Ben, with respect to these models, right? So I didn't catch the point where you were just mentioning about the service creation and the service model, the RAN. So is there already some work ongoing with respect to the alignment, Ben, in terms of modeling work with 3GPP or with the RAN?
Yeah, so there, that has been happening for many months and will continue to happen, I'm sure. sorry, one second, let me catch up. so there, I mentioned basically that there's been a lot of work trying to model and understand a 5G service and what a 5G system is, and both work in the modeling community and also in SDC to support the modeling of a 5G service, right? And to align that with Etsy. So there's a lot of work going on. I didn't want to kind of replicate all of the pages. There's a lot of wikis already in place for modeling and stuff. I'll probably point to, so I'll need to put in a lot of links here. A number of people like Tin have given presentations on things, and I've worked with them on their presentations. That was also one that was given in the developers conference last week. Okay, great. All right, so let's see. So overview of the 5G use cases. I need to upload the page here. Okay, let's see. So I was just on the ANI call right before this call. They're pretty focused on R4 right now. I'm working through JIRA tickets and and cleaning things up. They did, I report every week on the INA call to of kind of stuff coming down the pipe for R4 and R5. So I feel that they're in pretty good shape. I maintain a spreadsheet for them. What's happening in ANI. So if you know of things happening in upcoming releases related to ANI, just let me know, and I can let that ANI team know. So I kind of track what's going on with ANI, because it was pretty important to my use case, and I'm already kind of looking at a lot of use cases anyway. So
is ANAI going to add the location parameter? Is that what's on your slide, the main slide?
Oh, yeah. So I added a couple of big topics. So one of them was things that I know are on the pipe are the ESR, which is basically when you have an external NMS, and as you know, there's a lot of use cases where ONAP is working with an external EMS or NMS, and ONAP isn't really fully evolved yet, right? I mean, ONAP can't do everything, so it has to do stuff with an external NMS, and that kind of, there's information related to that NMS that needs to be modeled, such as its IP and so forth. And then I found out there's a something called an ESR object, which
right,
is kind of meant
for VNFs, right?
Yeah. So
that's what I was going to asking. Right. Are we trying to add then that ESR object for an external EMS to the PNF then?
For an EMS, guys. Right? Yeah. Just not call them an EMS, right? Those can be SDN controllers, the whole bit. So they're just external systems, right?
For external systems. Okay, thank you. That helps. Yeah.
Right. So I think that's, at least in my mind, that needs to be explored more. That can keep getting kicked down the road. I have gotten support from Kyung Lim, who's in the ANI team about that topic. So And they pointed me to a bunch of pages, which I've read. It seems like that object can be used. But I think this may still need some exploration, I think.
Okay.
Similarly, then, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say complex. I couldn't find anything other than the frame location that helped me know where a physical a PNF was located. And I wondered, you know, I know that there's this complex object.
Yep.
That applies to VNFs, and I wondered if that was going to also be applied to PNFs, or was it already and I just wasn't finding it? I wasn't sure.
So my understanding is that when I reach this topic, my understanding is that it will be applied to PNFs. I'm not sure if that code is there yet, but it's intended to be able to be applied to any kind of NF.
In Dublin or in El Alto?
In Dublin, I believe. So I can ask Jimmy, but I believe it's already there in El Alto. Okay. We can verify, yeah.
But be careful with that, right? So when we're talking about location of PNFs, there's the physical location, right? And then there's the location that it's associated with within the system itself, right? So when you start talking about clouds and those elements, those are the systematic attachment points, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about the GPS, that's going to be the physical, for example, GPS.
Right.
That's going to be the physical location. Very different concepts, because I can extend a location that's systematically assigned to a particular cloud, if you will, that isn't even located in the same facility, right? So it's just extended.
I argued that initially, but they were telling me that the complex object could serve both purposes. That's why I wanted to understand what was really going on there, because I didn't think it really was the same thing, but and I don't understand enough about AI.
So the complex object, if you look at it, it has things like street location, latitude, longitude,
right.
Altitude. I mean, there's actually a lot of physical information as well, as well as sort of the logic.
Yeah, and that's what I was told.
Well,
right.
Like
yeah.
Cloud ID and so forth. So it looks like it serves kind of both things. So when I started working the PNF modeling stuff, I said, "Gee, don't we need parameters to tell what its cloud home is and so forth?" And as I started exploring more, somebody in ANEI attended one of the calls and they said, "Oh, you know, like there's already such a thing called the complex object." That's how I became aware of it. So I think that it will cover, that'll cover it. So I don't want to, we can't spend too much time on that, but,
I wasn't trying to, but I just think it's important for a PNF that you have to know its location.
Absolutely.
And so, totally agree. Somehow that has to be resolved and we have to be able to store that somewhere.
Absolutely.
And so all I was trying to bring up was I didn't know the complex was assigned to PNFs already. I couldn't find it. If it is, maybe that's okay. We have to look.
Yeah.
If it's not, then something should be planned for. It was all I was trying to say.
I think it's already there. I'm not positive.
You don't have
to
check now.
I'm pretty certain it's already there. Yeah, yeah. And I already wrote we need to verify. So I can verify with the ANI team for you.
Hey, this is Shaka. So it's a two-part process, right? One is that ANAI has to have the proper objects and the attributes. And the second is during the discovery process of the PNF, you want to make sure that the data that the PNF is sending through the VES collector has the proper information that ANAI can use to populate all these attributes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So ANAI is going, the discovery process is what's critical over here. And the question should be, does the discovery process provide enough information, right, to Tim's point? GPS location, whatever location you want to specify, floors, racks, and so on and so forth. All these issues or attributes would have to be part of the discovery process.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the point is that Shankar, that can be part of the discovery process. Sometimes PNFs aren't smart enough, and you have to enrich that at the system, right?
Right.
So not every PNF, like my little CPE in my home, is not going to tell you that it's, you know, my address, right?
Right, right.
No, I understand. Yeah. But do you
not
want...
all PNFs are created equal, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think the question is going to be, though, is do you want to leave it up to ONAP to derive some of the attributes that are missing, or do you want to make sure you want to enforce it at the PNF level?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of discussion that needs to be had around some of this stuff. But
yeah.
You know, and I would like to see that discussion happen. Absolutely. I think it, you know.
We agree. Okay, so I'll do some verifying with Jimmy here. all right, thanks, Marge. Okay, so actually, I wanted to give Oscar some time to present on this new presentation. Did I write it down about this LCM API evolution thing, which I thought was really interesting that he gave at the architecture subcommittee? Oscar, are you there?
Yeah, sure.
Could you spend maybe 15 minutes on talking about this new thing and share with people what you were presenting?
Okay, I need a. Just a few seconds then to bring up the presentation.
Sure. Okay. And in the meantime, the people from the BBS team, Tim and Chakar, did you have any updates that you wanted to share with us of what's going on with the BBS use case? Is there new evolution in R5 or things happening in R4 that we should all be aware of?
Is David on? He was.
Oh, David. Yeah, David's also.
I'll let David speak to it.
Hello. So actually, during the pre-ONS meeting in San Jose, we presented some proposals for the next release, whether it's El Alto or Frankfurt.
Okay.
And also, it's the same slide set that we linked in this R5. Proposed use cases. So
okay.
Basically, good. there's a list of proposals. We identified also some functional requirements there in those slides, but nothing is committed yet. So we still need to decide on what we do next.
I see. Okay, great. Thanks. Okay, Oscar, take it away.
So this is a presentation from the architecture subcommittee meeting yesterday. It's actually a follow-up to a previous presentation 3 weeks ago about the same topic. It has been presented in the architecture because it is not a use case in itself, but the evolution of controller APIs that is proposed here could of course be beneficial for some of the use cases that we are planning for El Alto and beyond. The overall idea is to do something about the current situation we have today in the UNAP controllers, the SDNC and UPC, where you actually have two different variants of the LCM API, both the definition and the implementation or API handler. It's different. So if we could somehow converge into a single definition and implementation, that would be sort of a preferred long-term solution. So you reduce the confusion about which controller you have to use, which version of the API you're using, and so on. And also avoid the duplication of effort if you sort of have to update for new functionality in multiple places. So if this would happen, the logical place to have this converged implementation would be in the CC SDK, and then the different controllers would bring in that those modules, and then they would be able to provide the same API with a consistent definition and behavior. So that's kind of the first step, which in itself doesn't really add new capabilities, but it's will be a good starting point if you then go ahead and look as well as an adding some new features to the LCM support. The first one, which is partially enabled today in one use case, is the ability to use the LCM API also for TNFs. So we have the upgrade in Casablanca and Dublin, where you can actually use the LCM standard LCM operations for upgrade, but with the SDNC version of the LCM API. So this has been demonstrated. But the next logical step is to extend this to the entire LCM API for those operations that are applicable for PNFs. There are some that really only make sense for a VNF. So have a consistent support for PNFs and the standard way of specifying within the API requests that this request is targeting a PNF. Which attributes should you provide to indicate that this is a PNF and this is the ID or name of the PNF and so on, and have an agreed way of doing that. Next one, which is a bigger extension, perhaps, is about introducing something called the CDS blueprint processor in the controllers, and in particular as a way to customize the behavior for the some of the LCM operations. So CDS it stands for Controller Design Studio. So you might think it's mostly about the design time environment, but it actually has a corresponding runtime component that was delivered now in the Dublin release. So it initially used for some other use cases, pre and post instantiation configuration, but it's a very generic and flexible component which can provide some new useful capabilities for also for LCM use cases. So you have a lot of powerful tools basically here with where you can define complex workflows, you have scripting capabilities and so on. It could be very useful for some of the LCM operations if you want to describe the detailed and perhaps then PNF or VNF specific steps that must be performed as part of this LCM operation. So the question here is really, how do you do this integration and how does it relate to the existing LCM API and the path used today? We're starting with the API client, like your service orchestrator. You use the send a request to a DMAP, or there's also direct RESTConf interface. And then you have an API handler within the controller, you do some validation, and so on, and then you select the directory graph to be executed. So that is basically the, you know, the current process. And now with the CDS, then that's somewhere you would have a basically make a decision that, okay, in this particular case, for this VNF or PNF and for this operation, I should use the, this new blueprint processor and run some workflow or script within that component instead. So, I mean, you could look at a couple of different options. You could even start up in the client, like service orchestrator, and say, okay, already there, we make the decision, we use the old API, or we use this new blueprint processor and directly make a request to that. Or you can do like is illustrated here, you still use the existing API, kind of in a backwards compatible way, and then the controller internally makes this decision to use the blueprint processor. And the proposal here that was presented yesterday then was to start with the option shown here, where you have a backwards compatible LCM API, and then the controller internally would add this new option for CDS. So this was not really concluded in the meeting yesterday. So I would say this is one of the things to discuss a bit more, also with the CDS team, to have a conclusion here. Is this the agreed option? This is just another slide showing the same type of option as on the previous slide. Basically illustrating the same thing, but it's here you see a bit more detail how it could work. You have the northbound API, which is then the backwards compatible interface. You're performing a number of steps, like validating the request. There is some locking mechanisms today in the API, where you can have exclusive access to the PNF or VNF, or you can sort of have something called a normal mode, where you're not doing locking. You can have forced mode as well, and so on. So that is the semantics that you would like to still have, and it's really independent of which path you would take, if it's the traditional directed graphs or these new CDS workflows. So the bottom layer here is where you would see the update in the dispatch functionality, where you now would be selecting either the traditional path to the left or the new use the blueprint processor instead. So, and then there was a summary here of the proposal about the API itself, having a single definition and avoid a situation where we have multiple similar but not identical file describing the same API. The PNF support standardized on API level, and still the intention is to have it backwards compatible for the clients. On the implementation side, shared implementation in CCSDK, covering these logical functions and layers I showed from the previous slide, with a receiving API request, the REST config DMAP, the validation, locking support, and the updated dispatch layer. Yes, and in general PNF support, which could require changes here and there in the code base, where it today only always assumes it's a VNF. The CDS integration, then yeah, that's in the dispatcher. It wasn't, as I said, not fully concluded in the meeting yesterday. So it will come back next week, maybe next week or the week after that on the architecture subcommittee. So hopefully then can have a recommendation about the way forward.
Great, excellent. Any questions for Oscar? Okay, great. Thanks, Oscar. I think that was really useful. Okay. All right. So,
Are those slides stored somewhere?
Oscar, if you could send me the slides, I'll put a link here, or if you want to, if there's a link somewhere in the wiki, I'll link it to where it is.
Yeah.
I think it's in the, yeah, great. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I will send you the link, and they are already uploaded.
Sounds good. Okay. I took a few notes while you were presenting, and you can edit it if anything's wrong. Okay. In the meantime, I put a link to the BBS evolution that David put in the chat, and thanks. And John Quilty had also told me what the EAUG stand for, End User Advisory Group. Okay. I see Chuyu was on the call. It was very late for them. It's 10:40 in China. So we'll maybe you should move that up. Well, they joined during Oscar's presentation, so we'll cover that next time. Okay. You can go to the link here for the San Jose Developers Forum. I won't spend too much time on that, except to say that there's a bunch of presentations you can download. These are all the presentations that have been uploaded so far. There's a lot of very interesting things. We covered just one of the presentations, the Cadence release, where we're talking about R5 being a maintenance release and a technical debt release. But there's a lot of other very interesting presentations. The Etsy presentations I thought were kind of interesting. But of course, depends on what you're working on. The different presentations will be interesting. I thought it was interesting just because Etsy rarely actually presents as Etsy. So that was one of the more interesting presentations, I thought. So you can explore that. There's a link here. We already talked about the use case presentations, Ala's thing that I presented at, and a number of other people presented as well. Okay, so we actually just passed the R4 milestone for Dublin. And that's happening tomorrow, sorry. And I know a lot of calls that I've been on this week are talking about that. excuse me. And basically, the requirement should be in place. Test case is automated, and we're deep into development. And if you attend, like for example, the ANI call that I was on there, deep into fixing Jira tickets and stuff. So. And Ala has asked people to fill out the TSC scorecard, the M4 scorecard. So she sent a link for that. So if you're working use cases, you should have also gotten that email to do that. Okay, and let me just put the link here. These planning stuff you can see. Is there any questions on that or anything we need to discuss? Okay, so we don't have enough time to cover the data persistency, but these are kind of two ongoing topics, things that we know that will happen in our future. I don't know, things we've been talking about. We had a presentation on data persistency, MariaDB and so forth, and we've had many presentations on the Controller and NF Association. I think that is something that we will be, something we need to work. Okay. Barath, I see, was on the call. Maybe he dropped. Yeah, Barath had dropped, I think. So he was representing the firewall use case in R4 and R5, so we'll push that to the next thing. Marge, do you want to say anything about the PM dictionary and FM metadata work in R4 or R5?
Well, in R4, we are going to have the FM initial GUI available. That work is well underway. It is only able to present the way that the fields are defined in the VES event. So I'm sort of hoping that there's going to be some evolution there, and that we maybe we'll be able to have some updates in El Alto or whenever the 3GPP study completes that sort of integrates the VES events into 3GPP. For the PM dictionary, I think we have some work we want to do there in potentially changing the structure of the defined VES event that we provided. We need to kind of reach out and do some working discussions, I think, with Oscar, yourself, and Mark, and Michaela to talk about potentially modifying that a little bit more to have maybe each measurement be its own, now I always forget the correct term, whether it's record or whatever, within an overall VES file. So, but I haven't reached out yet to them about that, but we are thinking that the result of that would be a better organized set of information for the GUI to present, and then possibly also for future evolution to be able to pull into some sort of policy engine. The way we have it defined right now, it's not consistent with some of the other mechanisms. So I think we should consider modifying that moving forward, but I need to make a proposal and reach out to some of the other folks that are engaged in that before we can, codify that further.
And you hit your first big milestone, getting your requirement in.
yes. I got my requirements in, and believe me, that was not easy.
Yes, okay, great. All right. Oscar, did you want to say anything about software upgrade in R5 in the next release? I guess it's focused on netconf, right? There's still definition happening with what we're going to be doing.
I have not prepared anything specific for today, but yeah. Of course, the things that we started to talk about already for Dublin and then postpone, that of course we will pick up now for El Alto.
Right. So this is the page that I created, and feel free to edit. This is the input that you gave me for the presentation, which is all the potential updates for R5. But feel free to edit the page
I'll edit too with some of the information for the PM stuff.
Great. Excellent. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
So I created some pages there. Let me link that as well. And again, it's just the candidate stuff we have there, but just a lot of blank stuff yet. So we can fill in. Okay. All right. We probably should have Tin, and I've also been working on the modeling stuff too, but maybe we'll have, that'll require more time to talk about. So onboarding and pre-onboarding, Zoo is on the call as well. So let me just close some of these pages. Okay. So Zoo, we have, let's see. modeling, resource PNFD to the platform model, onboarding carryover items and enhancements. And of course, I was doing a lot of stuff with the VNF SDK definition. Maybe I should add, I think I'm going to add
this. Yeah, the VNF SDK part is probably the bigger part, which needs to be finished in auto.
Right. Yeah.
For the onboarding part, there's only a very few small items there. Mm-hmm. I think it's, you have this modeling there. That could be something to be finished in auto.
Right. Okay. Let me just put this on one table here. I think it's better. Okay. How do I delete this? Okay. So one thing, when we were both on the SDK call this week, and we mentioned these two things. The VSP package. Where did that go?
There was a PF VSP. I deleted it because that is concluded.
Okay.
That is concluding the SDC meeting. That is not relevant to not PF. Relevant.
Okay. Okay. Right. Okay. And then for VNF onboarding, we also mentioned during the call too.
Yeah, that needs to be testing.
Okay. Testing needs to be done, right? So, okay. So we need to go to the data modeling and modeling subcommittee, right, to talk more about the descriptor to platform descriptor modeling mapping. That still probably needs to happen, right? I mean, yeah. I know the platform model itself is evolving, and that's why it's a moving target, but that's why we didn't focus so much on that in R4, but probably need to work that more in R5 or R6.
Yeah. Just a question, the first two bullet, is that the same thing or is it different thing?
Sorry, let me just put the link here. So they're different things in my mind. The first one is basically what Michaela was calling the ONAP model, information and data model. The modeling team and SDC wanted me to call it the platform model, right? So this is the model that represents, that ONAP itself is using to represent NFs. And they have, I don't know if we need to contribute to that from the pre-onboarding, onboarding aspect. But basically, you know, something needs to happen to model what an NF is and how they represent NFs and ANFs and VNFs and PNFs and all of the, you know, connections and its linkages and things. Again, a lot of that's being done in the modeling subcommittee, right? But the thing is, there's also a PNFD that's onboarded that a vendor provides that describes their box or their thing, right? And the thing that's onboarded, that PNF descriptor that's onboarded, is eventually mapped into something that ONAP understands. In other words, this thing, right? Okay. The platform.
Okay, I see. So the first one, they extend the internal PNF modeling. And the second one is do the mapping.
Exactly, right.
Okay, I see.
So this is all about mapping. And this is all just about the, I mean, there might be nothing we need to do here because it's the modeling committee that's doing this, but we may need to influence them to make sure that the things we're onboarding are, or at least we understand or influence the things that they're onboarding kind of makes sense or make it easier for us.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
Yeah. Okay. We're at the top of the hour. We're at the end of the call. So thank you everybody for joining. I hope you found this useful. If you have any topics you'd like to propose or you know, people who want to have topics or whatever, you can just let me know. Okay, great. Thank you everybody for joining and have a great day.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you.